All right. We're talking on the subject, the faith that takes. The faith that takes. Romans and chapter 1. I'll read starting at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Say it one more time. The just shall live by faith. All right. Now, let's look at this. We've been talking about the faith that takes, and we have come some distance here, but I want to really talk about this tonight just for about a half an hour and just let you have something to chew on between now and tomorrow. Now, we were last time leaving off, we were talking about this confidence that we have in Him. Now, before I get there, let's do a couple of things. Let's kind of reset our thinking in this. Faith is something that is given to you when you're born again. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, He said, God has given, let's go over there real quick, please, just turn real quickly with me. Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to how many men? Every man what? The measure of faith. Now, every man the measure of faith. The faith that he's talking about here is the God kind of faith. It's the real faith, we call it, because you can have faith of humans. You can have the human kind of faith where you have faith in that chair because it looks like it can hold you up. You have faith in your car starting when you come out from the grocery store because it started up many times before. But we're not talking about that kind of faith. We're not talking about faith that comes through an experience. We're talking about faith that you've never experienced before. You've never gone there before, and you're using the Word of God to apply faith that you can use that faith to produce whatever the Word of God says. Are you with me? And so notice what he says. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore who? Brethren, underline brethren, please, because that's who he's talking to. This letter is not to the general population. This letter is to the brethren, because all men have not faith. That's what the Bible says. So we're not talking about everybody. We're talking about the brethren now. And he says that God has dealt, come on down to verse 3, to every man the measure of faith. He dealt to you the same measure of faith that he dealt to me. Now, what happened to that? I have to use my faith, because now faith, we find, can increase. So let's go there. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians, very quickly. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, glory to God. 2 Thessalonians, hallelujah. All right, get it on the board if you can't get it, because I got to get out of here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth, come on, exceedingly. Just stop right there. So faith can grow. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. And over in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking about forgiving people of sins, that when they offend you with something, then you forgive them. Well, that's kind of tough to do. Let's go down here. It says, verse 4, And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again, saying to you, I repent, you shall do what to him? You shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, do what to our faith? Increase our faith. Then Jesus tells them how faith increases. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, so it'll help you if you just take grain of mustard out, just for this point of clarity, if you had faith as a what? Seed. You would what? Say. So if you had faith as a seed, you say. And when you have faith, you're basically calling things that be not as though they were, because the faith is speaking and not your circumstances speaking. So if you had faith as a seed, you'd say. Now, what do you say? You say what God said, because you don't say what it looks like. You say what God says. And when God says that you forgive those who trespass against you, then you say, I do forgive you. Now I'm sowing faith as a seed. What does a seed do? It grows, see? It becomes whatever it says. So, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it, what? Your faith or the circumstances will, what? Obey you. It says it should obey you there, but the Greek says it will obey you. All right, now, sometimes when you walk in by faith, it seems like you're seemingly arrogant. It seems like you're a little arrogant. And Jesus and David did that. Let's go back over here to 1 Samuel and chapter 17, please. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says here that David came to the front line. And what happened is all of the children of Israel were fearful and afraid. They were hiding because of this Philistine, a man named Goliath. And verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so what? Afraid. Verse 24, do you have it? Look on the board if you don't. And verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? And he has come up, and it shall be, Israel is come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel, meaning no taxes. And David spake to the men and said to them, saying, what shall be done for this man that killeth this Philistine to take away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, notice how big this little guy is talking. And he's talking like that because he's speaking faith. He's talking by faith. And notice what happens here. Over down here, he's getting falsely accused. Verse 28, and Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him when he spake to these men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why came you up down here hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. So oftentimes, walking by faith is confused with walking in pride. But he wasn't walking in pride. He was walking in the Word. He was using God's Word. And what we said about faith is faith declares the outcome before the fight begins. Faith always declares the outcome before the fight begins. And if you look in here, one man said it. He said it's five times in here, I couldn't find before, that David declared what he was going to do with the giant before he ever got to him. Five times he declared it. So I'm saying as you're walking and your problem is coming towards you, whether it's finances, whether it's marriage, or whatever it is a faith fight. Don't think the enemy is picking on you because he picks on everybody. But what he's after is your faith, especially if you're coming in here listening to me. So he knows that you got faith and you're about to whip him and defeat him. See, if you do that, other people are encouraged. Say amen to that. Other people are encouraged, folks, and that's the thing that he doesn't want to get started, because faith is contagious, just like, you know, a disease is. And if somebody sees you walking by faith and this thing worked for you, man, they say, man, it's gonna work for me too. Say amen to that. And I really believe that when I came here and was out without anything, I mean, I didn't have anything, any source of anything, whatever have you, I had to live totally by faith, and I had to believe God every day, and he wanted to show me something. He wanted to show me that I could live by faith. Now, living by faith does not mean quit your job. That's not what it means. It means that you use your faith in concert with whatever God has given you to do, because a lot of times what happens is people go a step into a place where God really didn't send them. Now, in this, because whatever you do for God, it demands that you be in the will of God. You want to make sure. And you get out of the will of God, all you got to do is say, I repent and forgive me and get me out of this, and he'll get you out. Say amen to that. And you don't need to fix it up. Oh, Lord, thou art the Most High, and I know you know, and I know, too, that you know. And so, well, you don't need to do all that, man. You're in trouble, man. You said, Lord, listen, what I'm talking now. Praise God. I need you to get me out of this. And I need to get out of this right now, tonight, in Jesus' name. Said, many afflictions of the righteous, you deliver us out of them all. Thank you. Thank you. I need deliverance right now. Thank you. I'm out. All right. Okay. Now, you might want to make it a little longer than that. But my point is, Peter said, Lord, help me. And Jesus got him out. Say amen to that. All right. So now, sense knowledge tries to come in and elevate itself above your heart, above your faith. And it'll come in to try to get you to feel something. But what we said is that Abraham type of faith, or the God kind of faith, function in a place where there is nothing natural to confirm or to verify that what God promised is true. Let's go to Romans, please, and Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. All right, now, this is where we really jump off at. Now, you just mark this, because now we're talking about no senses involved. In other words, you cannot appeal to anything in your senses, your intellect, your emotions, or anything. This is we're taking you now outside of the feeling realm. Now, that's where people don't want to be, because they got to feel something. When you say, I believe I've received, that I've sown, and thank God, I believe as I've given, now it's given unto me. You can't feel a thing. You just got to stay right there. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, look what it says here in verse 17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things to be not as though they were. Who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken by, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, let me just finish reading it. And was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, who promised it? Who's going to perform it? All right. Okay, now, I got a lot of things running in my mind right now. I don't know whether you do this, but I think that tape players and CD players and DVDs, I really think that's an invention of God. Okay. Now, let me show you what I do. How does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing what? All right. There are speakers that have come here. And I got two of them in particular right now. And so what they said, I get it in a cassette. See, because I can't handle my CD like I can handle that cassette. And I got it stuck right at this place right here. CD player. Cassette player. And so what I'm listening to takes about 3.5 minutes. So I'm listening to it. I was in Paris, listen to it. I'm not playing the old tape. I got stuck there right now. I probably go home tonight and listen to it one more time. Listen to it. Now what's coming? Faith is coming. For what? For whatever that thing said. And I know that that man of God brought that word here for me. And that is going to take me to a whole nother level. See, I know that that's it. I ain't going to tell you what it is, because y'all run out there and try to overload the people out there trying to get the tape. Now, I'm only saying that out of these speakers, I heard something. Then I go get the tape, and I heard it, played the tape down again and heard it, and then put the tape aside since the faith conference. But then last week he had me to pick that tape back up. I played, I said, that spot right there. Then I came back and I'm going back and forth now. And they start talking again. And hit that part. Well, I don't want to hear no more. Send it back again. Are you following? I'm talking about the invention of God because it's having me to meditate it day and night. Now, folks, I have had people that buy my tapes. And there's a pack out there called a Billion Flow Pack. And I've had people, I've called them, and I said, man, I said, what's that? Hey, you recognize who that is? I said, yeah, that's me. They're talking. I said, wow, you got it. I mean, you got it up that loud in the house? Now I'm talking, I'm trying to talk. Yeah, you're talking over my teeth. I said, man, I said, does that disturb everybody? They need to hear it too. They need to hear it. It wasn't long that he moved out of there into a $7 million home. Now, wait a minute. I'm telling you, this whole thing is a function of light. That's all it is. And when God sends you the man of God, he's sending you the man of God with a faith seed. And the thing that we're looking for is another sermon. Folks, that is a mistake. If you're still in the same place, guaranteed, it's kind of like the man that the flood came and he ended up on top of the house. And here comes the first rowboat. They said, hey, we came for you. He said, no, I'm waiting on some other people. You know, I'll catch up with y'all. Another boat comes by. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Okay, and they rolled on by. Another boat came by. No, the Lord's going to. Okay, all right. They saw the floodwaters come up and swallow him up. Now, my point to you is that the Lord sent help. Whenever you are in trouble, Jesus comes to you. That's a law. Whenever you are in trouble, he comes to you. But it comes in a form that you can't recognize it, except you receive him by faith. Whenever you don't have to, he just get in trouble and see. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying here that this word comes, see, but God had me to do a little research, because what he's doing is helping us to grow up. He wants us to function like Adam did. And the way Adam, you all mind if I tell you this? I got just a little bit more time. But Adam, let me show you how he functioned. Glory to God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. And Jeremiah chapter 17. I did not mean to get this deep, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Obey God, huh? All right. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to see this. Just one moment. I'm going to tear that out. Hold it. See, you're willing to wait now because you're expecting something. All right, here it is. Now, I'm letting you know, when he says the just shall live by faith, that's what he's talking about. God hides harvest. Where did I tell you to turn first? Proverbs 20, okay. Proverbs 20. All right, look what it says here in verse 27. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So God wants to use your spirit to guide you. All right. Let me ask you something. When we in our services on Sunday night call for souls, how do you know whether there are any there? All right, this is not a trick question, but let me just give you this. You don't. You just figure there's some there. But God plants them there. See. And he had to take baby Jesus to Egypt. Once they become manifest, notice what happens. They come up here, give their life to the Lord, go back here, baptize in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, so forth and so on. Now the enemy tries to keep them from coming back.
That's right.
Why? Because he didn't attack that harvest until it was manifested. So God hid it so that it would be preserved for your, for this call until it was time. Oh, Jesus. Do you all follow what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that he has harvest all around you. But if he brings it too much into the natural, then the devil will see it. He'll rip it right off. I don't care what it is, from wisdom to gold. He hides it. And it, excuse me, it's not hidden from you, but it's hidden for you. But you've got to not be brought down into the sense realm, because flesh and blood cannot inherit it.
Yes, yes, yes.
You got to stay where God can speak to your heart and guide you to your harvest. And when I get high in the Holy Ghost up there, I can really sense where it is. It's over here somewhere. Got it? Now that's souls, but just think of money. Same difference. Everything, this mall was hidden. And at the point in time, he said, okay, buy that. Now, all of a sudden, when I got lined up and it got out that we were going to buy this mall, developers were lining up for miles trying to get it. Why didn't they get it before? Because it was covered.
Oh, great. Hallelujah.
Does this make sense to you? Remember what one of our speakers said? They said, "You're not people are not poor because they don't have any money. They're poor because they don't have any knowledge." They're not talking about natural knowledge, sense knowledge. This knowledge won't get you anywhere. They're talking about revelation knowledge. You can't see. I believe some of the poorest folk are some of the richest folk in the spirit. The enemy tried to keep them like that because he knows they ever get a hold of that money, he is done. They're going to use it, every bit of it, to preach a gospel that's going to pull down everything he's got. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Turn to Jeremiah now. Are you with me now? I'm talking about the just shall live by faith. The faith is not some act. Faith is a lifestyle. And as I stay in faith, I can be guided to harvest. I can be so forth and so on. But faith means I've got to stay in a place where I'm communing with God. It's a place where I'm guided by the word and not by my circumstances. And when you get beyond that sense knowledge, you're out there then. Now you're out there. You believe you receive when you pray. Now you're out there. Every day you wake up, thank God for, I thank God that, that debt is paid in full. I thank God. Now you're out there because you can't feel anything. But the only thing you know is that my God shall supply all your need. And that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, if you believe you receive them, you're going to have them. Amen. Now, some people, this doesn't touch you. You're not moved too much by this. But you move, you get to hurting enough in that area, in some area, you get to moving. You want to hear everything I got to say.
That's right.
Yeah, see, what lukewarm. Remember, lukewarm folks you can't do nothing with. Because he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because lukewarm folks, he said, I'll spit you out. He said, because you won't move by anything. You just, and one man telling me, a part in Africa, that Botswana, he's up there where they have some diamonds and all that. And he said, those people's minds are so enslaved up there. He said, you go up there and preach the gospel, and you preach and hit one of your finest revelations. And the people say, amen. Amen. That's what they all just say. Don't move, don't do nothing. But I'd rather for you to be hot or cold. See, I came into this thing hungry. Because I was so deep in debt, boy, them bills was beating me upside. They were calling my name every night. William. Every night, man, they call in my house and everything, and it was embarrassing me at work because they called my job trying to garnish my check. Right. Just what happened, IBM didn't do that at that time. I don't know what they do now, but they didn't do that. But they called my job. Now, I'm around now like you know, I'm Mr. Tall Hog at the Trough, and I know everybody and everything everybody doing every time. And so, man, next thing you know, they call me and boss me, calling me, asking me, you know, I hear, you know, are you paying your bills? And they must have me mixed up. You know how y'all do. They must have me mixed up. That card didn't go through. They did me like that last month, man. Them same people. And it's J.C. Penney. Okay, all right, let's look at this. And nothing gets pennies. I mean, that's a good place to stop. Shout, praise God. Jeremiah, come on over here. Just shall live how? Okay, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Are y'all with me? How are the just going to live? They're going to live by faith. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from who? From the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when what comes. We won't see it. We'll see that harvest. Are you with me now? All right. So last thing. Let me do this. There's a lot I don't want to tell you that. But faith is not an act. Faith is a lifestyle. Say lifestyle. And we live by faith because God's word commands that we live that way. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. So now, faith, Adam was in the garden working his faith, kept the garden by faith, and so forth. All right. Let me show you one more. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. Ooh-wee. Can I give you this? I got 5 minutes. Can I take 5 minutes? Can you give me 5 minutes? I won't go for 5 minutes. All right, look what it says. Now this, I want to get to my point that I want to bring out tonight. What did I just tell you to go through? Matthew, Mark 11. Mark, did I say Matthew or Mark? Wrong. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. All right. Verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. He said to them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a who? Coat what? Tied, whereon never a man sat. So loose him and do what to him? Bring him. And if any man say to you, why are you doing this? You say him to him that the Lord has what? Need of him. And straightway he will what? He's going to send him. Now, how did Jesus know all of that? By the Spirit, okay? Now, the Spirit spoke to his spirit, and the Spirit spoke to his spirit in leading him the way he needs to go. Oh, never mind. They went and got the coat. I ain't going to deal with that. Let's do this. Let's do this. Hold on. I just don't want to go over time. I want to let you out. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. You with me?
Yes.
All right. This is when Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. And he took the multitude, took them in the ship, and there was a great storm. Storm came up. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said, don't you care that we're about to die? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. Verse 40. And he said to them, why are you so what? Fearful. How is it that you have what? Nothing but faith. Nothing but faith. How is that you have no faith? All right. Now, I want you to see that statement. Then, go on over to Mark chapter 5, and this is when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment, and look what he said in verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, what? Thy faith has what? Made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Didn't he say that? So, turn one more place to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. Oh, mercy. Two verses I want to cover. Luke 18 and Hebrews 10. Luke 18, please. You're there? And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not what? Faint. And there was a judge in the city that feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was also a widow in the city, and came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will what? Weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudged judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you, he'll avenge them when? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find what? Faith in the earth. Now, that's my point to you right now. So Jesus is going to return, and he's going to be looking for what?
Faith.
It did not say when he returns, is he going to find love? Didn't say that. It didn't say when he returns, will he find peace? Didn't say anything about that. He didn't say when he returns, will he find unity in the body? Didn't say that. It says one thing for him. When he returns, will he find faith? And the reason why he says faith is because faith is the key to having love, having peace, and having unity. It is your master key. Now, what kind of faith does he want? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, last place. Got 22 seconds. All right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast Not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience or endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no what?
Pleasure.
No pleasure in him. So what God is saying here is that he wants us to have unwavering, uncompromising faith that will not accept defeat. Now, not everything you pray for is going to manifest instantly, so get over that. But here's the deal. Don't draw back. God wants you absolutely inflexible. And I won't turn to it, but over in the book of Exodus, three times Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. Said, listen, why don't you just compromise? Why don't you do this? If there's a certain kind of man you want to marry, stand on it. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. See, don't compromise. See, the enemy trying to get you to give up something. Even if you won't get off the promise, at least give some, you know, give some slack, give some room and say, well, you know, I mean, you know, everybody don't have, don't give him anything. That what you have believed for, Paul says, when you've done all that you can do to stand, in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, stand. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said, don't be weary in well-doing, and meaning that don't faint, because in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. Say amen to that. So you have to make a decision not only to live by faith, but to stand in faith. You got to live only two camps that you can live in, either the drawback camp or the faith camp. So you need to come over to the faith camp and stop drawing back. Every time it looks like it's not working, then we step back a little bit. No, your days of stepping back are over. You're going to decide right now what camp you're in, and you're in the camp where you're going to live by faith. And the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that faith is a heritage. It is something, he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in you also. You see, faith is a heritage. Yet the enemy knows that if you stand in faith and it works for you, you're going to pass it down to your children, that next generation. Say amen to that. And that promise that God has for you is going to reach you. Everything that he's planned for you and prepared for you, everything God said you can do, you can access it by faith. And God wants you to take that faith, pass it to your children, pass it to your grandchildren, teach them a little bit about it. Don't be thinking that they're going to throw it away, that they're not going to listen to you, because we all been designed to live by faith. And they're going to draw it in just as quick, and you just let them walk with that. And once you teach them how to walk with that, you can let them go, because you train up a child the way they'll go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I'm seeing it in my son right now. So I'm telling you right now, you are a person that God has chosen for this hour, not only to demonstrate the power of faith, but to pass it down as a legacy to the next of kin and to the rest of your family. And that's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Now, how shall the just live? Faith is your lifestyle. Faith is your lifestyle. Look like something won't work, just step back off. And said, okay, you gonna work. Because I'm gonna work my faith on you. Say amen to this.
Amen.
And folks, remember, when it first comes out, you're gonna be wondering, how am I gonna do that myself? But don't do that. Let's get accustomed to operating on that level that Adam operated on before he fell, on the same level of Jesus. They couldn't dip that water out fast enough. He had to speak to that thing. And that's what Jesus did, and God moved on it right there. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And he's going to move on you right there, right now. I speak a blessing on you right now. I speak right now, before Christmas Day, I speak that those debts that are in your house right now are canceled in the name of Jesus. Every one of them have dematerialized, disappear. They have gone away in the name of Jesus. And that right now, from this day forward, there's an abundance coming to you that you will have discernment that you have never had before in your life. And you're going to be able to see that harvest, and it's going to give you the confidence that you need to stand until it manifests in your life. I speak right now deliverance for every way that Satan has been trying to destroy and trying to diffuse your future, trying to keep you from the promises that God has for you. And I speak right now and release my faith on your whole household, that your whole household is not only coming out of lack, but coming into the millionaire status, and that the inventions and ideas are going to flow in through and through you, opportunities that you've never had, contracts that you've never really won, and they're going to come to you now just because of the favor of God. And I speak that favor on you, on your house, and his blessings from this day forward. Just like he blessed Abraham, he's blessing you right now, and no hindrances can hinder it from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I release my faith. Now you receive. I said you receive. In the name of Jesus, receive. Over in that listening audience, over in the internet, you receive. Every household, you receive right now. I speak it. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. I speak it right now in Jesus' name. And it shall be in your household. That car note is paid in full in Jesus' name. That house is paid off in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I wipe it out. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. The word of faith which we speak. Praise God. The just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, don't you go home and let anybody talk you out of this. Don't you go home and get into some argument over something. If they want to argue, let them argue with themselves. Don't you say anything. You just say, I believe I receive. When he just argues, say, I believe I receive. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal this. Say amen to that. I have spoken it. It is done in the spirit. It has now come on you. It has now come on you. There's, boshata. Receive in Jesus' name. Praise God in heaven. My goodness. This is what the church is supposed to be all about. The supernatural. I said the supernatural. All that laid up for us and we gonna be in lack? Ain't no way. I'm calling it in. That donkey didn't move till Jesus called for it. Say amen to that. Praise God. See, you, praise God. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know what I'm feeling. I'm sensing the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm talking about recompense. I'm talking about recompense. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some stuff that's been stolen from you, that's been defrauded from you. I'm talking about stuff you've been robbed of. I'm talking about every time you've been humiliated, the devil's paying back right now. He's got to pay back, got to pay back, pay back, payday, 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 payday. Yeah. Payday. Praise God. Payday. You ain't gonna have to go cheat no more. You ain't gonna be payday coming now. Payday is coming. Praise God. Reke shata. Oh, I got some believers in here. See, if we could just get us 3 or 4 or 5 believers, I'm telling you now, we could shake heaven and earth. Praise God. All right, let me just call for this. You here, and you know you need to be saved. I want to pray with you right now. You know who you are. I don't need to point out who you are. Let me just tell you this. Jesus died for your sins and made it so that you can come home. If you ever knew how much there was in Daddy's house, you'd be home already. So I'm just telling you right now, God's made a way for you. He's going to wipe out all your sins and everything. So now what you need to do is just get up and come. Whoever that is right now, I want to pray for you right here at the altar. Get up out of your chair. Take a step of faith. Come on up here and stand with me right now, whoever that is.